Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house on this Memorial Day Sunday as we remember those who have offered the ultimate sacrifice for the many freedoms that we enjoy as citizens of this nation. We continue to resume many of our faith traditions that were put on hold this past year. Last week we enjoyed our hymnals and the Lord's Supper for the first time in a while. And we had already been allowed to loosen our social distancing and face mask restrictions a few weeks prior to that. This week, we would like to invite you to write your name in the friendship register that you'll find at the end of each row. It's on the center aisle of the row, center side of the row, and then pass it on to the person seated next to you. And of course, we have resumed our children's ministries and our nursery is back open. We do ask for those of you with children in the nursery or in children's church to please leave your phones on vibrate so that if your child needs attention while they're with us, we can contact you. So folks, after about 14 months of limitations to our worship and traditions, many prayers have been answered and many blessings bestowed on our congregation here at Berry Christian Church. Thank you all for your patience and participation as we navigated a world situation that has never been encountered in our lifetimes and hopefully never to be encountered again. And now may we begin our worship service with our call to worship. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord, you heavenly beings. Sing praise to the Lord, all his faithful people. Remember what the Holy One has done and give him thanks. Let us sing our opening hymn, O Beautiful for Spacious Skies, number 720. We'll sing all stanzas.
Thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. O beautiful for patriot dream, that sees beyond thy cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law.
May we bow in a word of prayer. O God of peace and love, on this Memorial Day weekend of the year 2021, We come to give thanks for the lives of those who have gone before us into your promised rest. You love these persons whom we name in our hearts, and peace comes in knowing that they are held in your loving arms. We admit that too often we are content to be followers. It's easier to let someone else make the hard decisions or speak the words of truth. But we know that there comes a time when you call those who have been followers to become leaders. We lift prayers for our country and ask that you would guide those who have been chosen to be leaders. And we pray now for your presence through your Holy Spirit as we gather in worship this morning. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
This morning, this is our little gentleman. He always looks so like a little gentleman. He's all dressed too nice. Do you know what all those are? What all those pictures are? Those are all pictures of different memorials. And those are all in Kansas City. There's a whole bunch more in Kansas City because we have a lot of monuments and memorials. And sometimes our memorials are really big and tall and fancy. We do lots of carvings on them. We make them look really cool. Sometimes they're littler. Sometimes they have statues. We even have memorial gardens. We have memorial fountains. And sometimes memorials just look like a rock. It's just a rock. Well, we do memorials so we can remember.
We want to remember certain people or certain events, and we want to show that we respect and honor those people, and we invest in that. And today, when we go down to Children's Church, we're going to learn about a memorial.
idea? I think it sounds like a great idea.
As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to continue to remember. We want to lift up Brad and Lauren Taylor, as Brad is at the KU Medical Center, still going through some tests and trying to assess the results of those to look at an avenue of treatment for him. Ardith Haynes is now home and making good progress in recovery. Barbara Mayberry is recovering from her recent procedure on her back and should be here at the 11 o'clock service. We continue to remember Grace and Jean Kimberling and Dottie Olson and also Jerry Treese. And among family members, we're remembering Carol Cook's daughter, Christy, Kathy Gorman's granddaughter, Savannah Gorman, Barbara Mayberry's daughter, Shannon Hoyt, and Rosa Curtwright's son, Dan Curtwright, and Doris O'Neill's family. We're remembering her grandchildren, Taylor and Lane, and also in Linda Stevens' family, her sister, Donna, and in Edna Williams' family, her cousin, Anna Hext. Also, we're remembering Ruth Ann Solomon's daughter, Rihanna Ralston, and Cindy Sexton's stepmother, Carolyn Comfort. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and gracious God, for your abundant mercies and blessings, we are grateful. We give pause this Memorial Day Sunday that we may not forget our fallen in military service who have given their utmost to uphold the treasured freedoms we appreciate as a nation. As Memorial Day approaches tomorrow, may we pause to remember that more than 1,318,222 armed service members who have lost their lives in service since the inception of our nation. For the families and friends who have lost loved ones in military service, O God, we know that Memorial Day holds precious significance as fathers, mothers, siblings, sons, and daughters, other relatives and dear friends pause and wonder how their lives would have been shaped if only their loved ones had peacefully returned home. And as each of us go about our daily task, may we never forget the fallen or their loved ones, and may we honor their sacrifice by upholding qualities of honor, dignity, courtesy, and distinctive citizenship in our service to our fellow citizens, in our community and nation. For we must each realize that it is by upholding the distinctive qualities of freedom of religion, speech, and opportunity that our soldiers died defending, that we honor their sacrifice with dignity. Even as fellow believers in Christ, we recognize that it is only in upholding the Christ-like values that Jesus emulated and encouraged us to follow, that we, as followers of Christ, truly honor his sacrifice on the cross. To this we all strive toward, O God, as we especially seek to honor you, our Creator and Sustainer, while we offer this prayer, and as we recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the brook sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art.
It is in remembering that we know how to respond in the moment. We hold the door at the quick stop for another customer because we remember the last time another customer was so courteous to do the same for us. We say please and thank you and strive to listen to others without interrupting because we remember these are courtesies that our parents instilled in us. This Memorial Day Sunday, we strive to uphold lives of distinctive citizenship because we remember that over 1,300,000 men and women have paid the supreme sacrifice to preserve the many freedoms that we enjoy. As we sing Reagan Courtney's hymn in remembrance of me, and as we partake of the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, we commit our lives in thankful service for the sacrifice Christ paid for the forgiveness of our sins. As the composer reminds us, Jesus is saying to us, in remembrance of me, always love. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart, look for God. Our communion hymn number 403, in remembrance of me, we'll sing both stanzas, please.
In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will is done. In remembrance of me, heal the sick. In remembrance of me, feed the poor. In remembrance of me, open the door and let your neighbor in. Let them in. Take heed and be comforted. Drink and remember too that this is my body and precious blood shed for you, shed for you. In remembrance of me, search for truth. In remembrance of me, always love. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart, look for God. Do this in remembrance of me.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, today we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to remember the extraordinary sacrifice you made and sending Jesus, your beloved Son, to be with us. We thank you for his legacy in words, actions, and obedience to suffering on the cross. Lord, we come to you now to ask for forgiveness for any thoughts, words, or deeds that have not honored your name. We are also truly sorry for the times we have chosen to live selfishly rather than heeding your call. As we share this meal, come bind us together as one family filled with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. It has been said that everything has its price, but truth be told, the most precious aspects of life are indeed priceless. And even as we consider the great benefits we have as citizens of our country, as citizens of the family of God, we acknowledge that fellow citizens and our Lord Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price of their very lives for the very precious freedoms and gifts we often simply take for granted. As Paul especially reminds us concerning Christ's sacrifice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Roxy offers us a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, bless these tithes and offerings we are about to receive. Help us to use them to better spread your word throughout our community and world. Bless our church and our minister. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
Please be seated.
Scripture to share with you this morning, Joshua chapter 4. However, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. And not also 19 and 24, because essentially it's a repeat of what we're already looking at here in the first 9 verses. But Joshua chapter 4. When the whole nation had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and command them to take 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan from the very place where the priests were standing. Tell them to carry these stones with them, and to put them down where you camp tonight." Then Joshua called the 12 men he had chosen, and he told them, "Go into the Jordan ahead of the covenant box of the Lord your God. Each one of you take one stone on your shoulder, one for each of the tribes of Israel. These stones will remind the people of what the Lord has done. And in the future, when your children ask what these stones mean to you, you will tell them that the water of the Jordan stopped flowing when the Lord's covenant box crossed the river. These stones will always remind the people of Israel of what happened here." The men followed Joshua's orders. As the Lord had commanded Joshua, they took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each of the tribes of Israel, carried them to the camping place and put them down there. Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, where the priests carrying the covenant box had stood. Those stones are still there. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, on this Memorial Day Sunday, we're mindful of the great acts that you have indeed accomplished for the benefit of humanity, as indeed have many citizens for us accomplished great feats for the benefit of our safety and welfare in this nation. As we step forward into the task of the new week, and as we are mindful of Memorial Day, may all of us be inclined to offer up the very best of ourselves in thanksgiving for what those before us have already done on our behalf. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Today, we give rivers very little notice as we cross over them with ease, across bridges that often appear to be little more than seamless stretches of the same concrete and asphalt that we've been driving upon. In fact, I think there's been somewhat of a debate about the replacement of the Buck O'Neill or Broadway Bridge, has there not been, because the idea is that it'll look like just one big gigantic overpass instead of having any kind of superstructure above it, has the distinctiveness to it. So we'll see where that debate goes, right? But in biblical times, as well as in the times of our forefathers, rivers were definitely major obstacles when one was trying to get from point A to point B. The Jordan River, under typical circumstances, run rather narrow, at only about the width of this sanctuary, and not more than, say, typically a few feet deep. But in this morning's biblical account, in the Old Testament book of Joshua, the Jordan River was actually a widened body of muddy, rushing water, as Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 tells us. It was harvest time, and the river was in flood. Now, if you've ever seen some of our lazy rivers in flood, you know what I'm talking about. The river used to go down through Victoria. It was about as wide typically as one set of these pews. But one time it stretched out a mile wide. Yeah. Even the alligators at the zoo got out. And then that reached the news. But you know, everybody, the newscasters made a big deal about the alligators getting loose. They didn't care because they were indigenous to the area. There's other alligators. They just joined up with their cousins. Nobody cared about the alligators getting out of the zoo because he just joined the ones that were already out there. So much for that little story, right? But the Hebrew people, thus, at this point, they were filled with fear and apprehension as God instructed them to cross over the Jordan River. The water was gushing along with great speed, and the murkiness of the water made it impossible to determine the depth that was before them. Carrying the heavy gold-laden covenant box between two long poles placed on each end, were instructed by God to take those first steps into the river. But as they would be holding on, you know, do you imagine how they were? You know, here Fred's on the front pole, and he's looking back at Bob in the back and saying, "Bob, I thought it was your turn to be on the front end," you know. But here old Fred's about ready to just kind of step his foot in to the Jordan River. Now, I don't know about you, but I've also been around a number of big, murky, brown and green rivers, right? You look down, you don't know how deep that is. And holding on to God's box. And yet you're instructed to step in. And this is one of the most significant acts of faith of any biblical account in all of Scripture. We just don't give it that much notice. But imagine holding on to that pole. You're the priest in the front, and all of a sudden you're just supposed to put your foot on out. And, of course, the text tells us in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, as soon as the priest stepped into the river, the water stopped flowing and piled up upstream. And we know that the priests,
And the Hebrew people miraculously and safely walked across dry ground, as Joshua chapter 3, verse 17 tells us, into the promised land that God was to give them. In the background of this great God event, 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, were instructed by God through Joshua to collect from the river bottom one stone each and to take their stone to the encampment on the other side of the Jordan River. As verse 9 tells us, Joshua, likely with the aid of other men, also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, on the very spot where the priest with the covenant box had stood on dry ground in the middle of the river while all of the rest of the Hebrew people passed over. We read this story and we wonder, well, why? Why this business of stacking up 12 stones? 12 in the river and 12 at the shoreline encampment. God, though, through instructions given by Joshua, was establishing what was then understood to be standing stones, a memorial of a great God event. As the text tells us, people in generations to come would walk by and they would notice these piles of stone. You know, again, it would be obvious to them that this was not a natural occurrence. But note, however, that these stones wouldn't have been rocks that you could just hold in your hand. Each stone would have been a good-sized boulder that one strong man could lift up out of the riverbed and carry on his shoulder. And don't you know, Joshua would have chosen the strongest of every tribe, strongest young man of every tribe he could, wouldn't he? Right? And back a few years ago, Carrie and I were redoing our deck. We have these 16-foot 2x6 boards, 16 feet length. You know, that's about, I don't know how long our pews are, but they ain't far off of 16 feet, are they, Ron? 16-foot boards. I'm going with my trailer. I got this fancy thing set up on my trailer so I can stack these things up there and so they hang over the bed of my pickup truck so I'm not causing any traffic problems and not worrying about them falling off into somebody's windshield, right? But here I am picking up one of these, heaving it up. Oh, boom, you know, because they're treated wood. They're soaked with this stuff. They're just like a brick. This young man comes out. You know, in his spare time, he did weightlifting. I had these all stuck on the little trailer thing they give you at the store, you know. He picks up three of those. Set all my, and I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, I only miss. Right? Joshua would have picked the biggest, strongest young men he could have. So we're not talking about little old stones you can put in your hand. We're talking about the biggest boulder they could get from the middle of the river. And notice the fact also were those stones put in the middle of the river. Now, obviously, the water would have to be clear, but, you know, on a calmer time period, water runs when it's not getting filled up with silt, right? So you can see what's there, but the water's only about 2 or 3 feet deep, right? I imagine what happened was, again, the stones that were in the middle of the river were likely stones from the earth bank. They would have been craggy, rough, squarish looking. Anybody walk by and notice there's something about those rocks, they don't belong there. They got there somehow. But the rocks that were stacked up at the shoreline at the encampment, what would they have looked like? Round boulders. They had been in the water for umpteen years, right? Rounded off. Anybody with any common sense would know that those round stones just didn't appear there. So when people would walk by this place, what happened here? What's this all about? And as the text tells us in Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, these stones will remind the people of what the Lord has done. In the future, when your children ask what these stones mean, you will tell them that the water of the Jordan stopped flowing when the Lord's covenant box crossed the river. These stones will always remind the people of Israel of what happened here. The use of the stones to establish a way to remember a God event at a certain place was not uncommon for the Hebrew people, nor was it uncommon for people of other religions of the day. Genesis chapter 28, for example, tells us that years earlier, Jacob had a dream as he encamped overnight. In the dream, he saw a stairway reaching from earth to heaven with angels going up and down. And there God promised him that his descendants would be as numerous as the specks of dust of the earth. Now remember, Abraham, that was the stars in the sky. Here with Jacob, it's specks of dust. The next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had been resting his head upon that previous night, and he set it up on end. Why? Because then any time anyone would pass by there, they would notice there's just something different about this. What's this stone set up on end? What's this all about? And the text tells us that he named this place Bethel, which simply means house of God. So you see, the notion of establishing standing stones as memorials to remember great God events is not something new. It had been going on for centuries. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember that in our own culture and history, stonework has been set up in numerous ways to establish our own standing stones, our own memorials. Through the centuries, our forefathers have carved stones and set up memorials to help generations to come to remember significant events and to honor the sacrifices that a few have made for the many. Today, we walk the hallowed grounds of any national cemetery and through any private cemeteries, and we notice the familiar white marble headstones. Originally, they were intended to mark the graves of those soldiers who lost their lives in battle. Today, that count is 1,318,222 citizens, men and women, who have lost their lives while in service to our nation. But also we recognize today that these same type of stones mark the graves of millions of veterans who have served since the revolutionary times. These markers first began in our nation's early frontier days as white painted wooden markers that easily deteriorated and typically didn't last beyond 5 years, risking the loss of the memory of a service member's sacrifice. It was only after the Civil War that it became evident that with more than 620,000 deceased soldiers, there was a need to establish a more permanent and lasting marker. In typical fashion of we Americans, however, a 7-year debate ensued. We just can't seem to accomplish anything without arguing about it forever, can we? We just argue. Well, that's not new, folks. We've been doing that for decades, if not centuries. We just argue with one another until we finally figure out what on earth it is we think we kind of might want to do. There was a debate whether these stones should be marble or whether they should actually be galvanized iron instead, coated with zinc. It wasn't until 1873 that the War Department finally adopted a slab design of polished marble, 10 inches wide, 12 inches high from the ground, and 4 inches thick, with a slightly carved top. Alterations were made through the following decades until what is known as the general type of headstone, most familiar to us, was adopted after the First World War. Made of white marble, 13 inches wide, 42 inches long at the base, and 4 inches thick. The inscription on the front face includes the soldier's name, rank, regiment, division, date of death, state, and decades later, also the addition of the date of birth. The inclusion of a religious emblem was also established at about the time of the First World War. And over the years, the number of symbols has expanded to include many familiar religious symbols, including the chalice of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, that, of course, you know, is the red chalice out on our sign, which adorns my father's marker at the National Cemetery in San Antonio. My stepfather's marker in a more distant location of the same National Cemetery in San Antonio also has the inscription of my mother on the backside, as the remains of spouses can now be laid to rest at the same location of the service member. It's just that their information is always indicated on the back. Thus, you see, as a nation, we now have thousands upon thousands of standing stones, memorials that tell stories and hopes that we won't forget the service, but also especially we won't forget the sacrifice of the few for the many. Yet for all the standing stones or memorials that we may set up for individuals or for special events, we must realize that all of these memorials are of little value unless the stories are continually told and retold generation after generation, so that no generation will ever forget the sacrifices made for the benefits enjoyed in the present day. Again, as God said to Joshua in Joshua 4, these stones will remind the people of what the Lord has done in the future. When your children ask what these stones mean to you, you will tell them that the water from the Jordan stopped flowing when the Lord's covenant box crossed the river. These stones will always remind the people of Israel of what happened here. And on this Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day is of little consequence if it is nothing more than a holiday for springtime activities. Memorial Day is set aside to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy, just as every service is a weekly event set aside to remember the ultimate sacrifice our Lord Jesus offered for the forgiveness of our sin. On this Memorial Day, we look to the memorials of our fallen military service members, and we must say, thank you, fellow citizen. And on this Sunday morning, we look to the cross, and we also say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And as we depart from this sanctuary, with a determination to live lives that express gratitude and honor and for the sacrifices made, may it be as we understand the benefit we have in our lives today. Do you know Christ? If not your Lord and Savior, today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to hymn number 67, O God, our help in ages past. We'll stand and sing, all stanzas, please. 67.
O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. A thousand ages in thy sight are like an evening gone. Short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Time like an ever-rolling stream soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We wish you the very best as you journey through Memorial Day and certainly through the new week, as we also certainly keep in prayer a number of our folks that we know are out and about traveling. We know this is the first right, so many people out if they can be, and so we wish them a safe travel. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, may we always be mindful of that which has been done for our benefit by others and certainly by our Lord Jesus, and may our gratitude be reflective by what we do and say. Guide us in the days ahead. In Christ's name we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King.